This is Nicholas Snow Live, connecting the circuitry of humanity. Connect with us at NicholasSnowLive.com. It's not radio, it's Gadio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Nicholas Snow Live. I am live at 11 a.m. Pacific Daylight Time on April 13th. This show, of course, is available in perpetuity, so you can listen to it at any time in the future. On today's show, I'm welcoming guest co-host Colin Fallison. He is the producer and presenter, they call them presenters internationally, they call them anchors in the U.S., of Pink 60 News. We'll be discussing hot news stories of the day and his international perspective. He has a very international perspective in covering the LGBT community. But, of course, the big story of the day is Hillary Rodham Clinton's long-anticipated entry into the 2016 presidential campaign. Supporters are thrilled at the weekend's developments, and others, might be mortified. I am among those that are thrilled. That's what's coming up in today's show. And the campaign video made history because it depicts two same-sex couples in the video. You won't necessarily be able to glean that from the audio I'm about to play, but if you watch the video, there's no missing it. In the audio, you'll hear a guy talking about marrying the person he loves this summer, and then they switch to a view of a male same-sex couple. And later on in the video, there's a fabulous shot of two lovely lesbians on a sofa. Of course, the whole melting pot of the U.S. is wonderfully presented in the video, and here's the audio.
I'm getting ready for a lot of things. A lot of things. It's spring, so we're starting to get the gardens ready, and my tomatoes are legendary here in my own neighborhood. My daughter is about to start kindergarten next year, and so we're moving, just so she can belong to a better school.
Mi hermano y yo estamos empezando un primer negocio.
Vaya.
After 5 years of raising my children, I am now going back to work.
Every day we're trying to get more ready and more prepared.
The big boy coming your way.
Right now I'm applying for jobs. It's a look into what the real world will look like after college.
I'm getting married this summer to someone I really care about.
I'm going to be in a play and I'm going to be in a fish costume. For little tiny fishes.
I'm getting ready to retire soon. Retirement means reinventing yourself in many ways.
Well, we've been doing a lot of home renovations.
But most importantly, we really just want to teach our dog to quit eating the trash.
And so we have high hopes for 2015 that's going to happen.
I've started a new career recently. This is a fifth generation company, which means a lot to me. This country was founded on hard work, and it really feels good to be a part of that.
I'm getting ready to do something, too. I'm running for president. Americans have fought their way back from tough economic times, but the deck is still stacked in favor of those at the top. Everyday Americans need a champion, and I want to be that champion. So you can do more than just get by. You can get ahead and stay ahead, because when families are strong, America is strong. So I'm hitting the road to earn your vote, because it's your time, and I hope you'll join me on this journey.
And the phone lines are open, 347-215-8866. That's 347-215-8866. I'll be back with Colin Fallison in just a few minutes, and we'll be discussing Hillary and so much more. I want to give a big shout out of thanks to all my advertisers. You'll hear the commercials during the show. If this episode had a presenting sponsor, you would be hearing their commercial right now at the beginning of the show. For information on how to secure this sponsorship, or for the contact information for all my advertisers, visit NicholasSnowLive.com and click on the advertisers link in the main sub menu.
It's time for Nicholas Snow Live, the podcast that's all about connecting the circuitry of humanity. Nicholas broadcasts live almost every day, and he wants you to be a part of the conversation. If you are listening live, the phone lines are open now. Call 347-215-8866. That's 347-215-8866. We're screening calls right now, so get dialing. Call 347-215-8866. While he's screening callers for today's broadcast, here's some important information for you. Nicholas uses both Twitter and Facebook to alert listeners just as he's going on the air. At any time 24/7, you may direct tweet at @TheNicholasSnow or post your questions, comments, breaking news, and gossip on the Nicholas Snow Live Facebook page. Nicholas may very well discuss your tweet or comment on the air. When communicating with or about the show using any form of social media, be sure to use the hashtag NicholasSnowLive. You may also Skype into live broadcast from anywhere in the world. For Skype instructions and to review all the Connect with Show options I've just mentioned, simply visit NicholasSnowLive.com and click Connect with the Show in the main submenu. Nicholas also broadcasts regular video chats and interviews on his YouTube channel using Google Hangout. So subscribe at youtube.com/snowbiz now. That's youtube.com/snowbiz now. For all of his social media links, visit NicholasSnowLive.com and click on Social Networks in the main submenu. And now, on with the snow, show. Celebrating his fourth decade as a multimedia entertainment activist, producer and host Nicholas Snow is all about honoring and expressing his life force in a way that makes a difference, while inspiring you to do the same. Reaching millions of people worldwide, Nicholas is definitely a leading primo promo homo on the go-go. Yes, over 6 feet of snow has just drifted into your podcast experience. And here he is, Nicholas Snow.
Hey, everybody. I'm so happy that you've joined me. This show is live. It's a little bit after 11 a.m. Pacific Daylight Time in California on April 13th, 2015. My guest, who is in the green room, the virtual green room, will be joining us in a minute or so from London, where it's after 7 p.m. on the same date. I just love this international experience and new technology. By the way, I want to give a big shout out to my supporters at the Huffington Post, because 4 out of 5 of my broadcasts last week have been picked up by the Huffington Post. If you go to the Huffington Post Gay Voices right now and you look on their homepage, there's a photo of Mondo Guerra, the openly HIV positive role model who shared his status, his HIV positive status, on Project Runway and has gone on to be a champion for Dining Out for Life. So be sure to follow me on the Huffington Post. My co-host today, London-based Colin Fallison, is the producer-presenter of the 5-year-old Pink 60 News, a daily 1-minute news show sourced from websites and journalists throughout the world. The show is in its 5th year of production and is available at pink60news.tv and at their Facebook page. Pink 60, by the way, is one word, Pink 60. So if you search Facebook for Pink 60, one word, another word, news, you'll find their Facebook page. I'm going to play an example. This is the most recent edition of Pink 60 News.
Hello, I'm Colin Fallison, and here are the international LGBT news headlines from Pink 60. Hillary Clinton announced her intention yesterday to run for president for a second time at next year's US election. Her campaign manager is out gay man Robbie Mook, and her launch video includes an engaged gay couple talking about their future. Following reports last week that France's new gay ambassador to the Vatican had been accepted by the Archbishop of Paris, it seems the Pope isn't so keen. The Vatican official was quoted as saying Pope Francis rejected Laurent Stefanini personally because of his sexuality. A Muslim taxi driver in New York has been fined $10,000 in order to attend anti-discrimination classes after abusing two lesbian passengers. Mohammed Darby called the women whores after seeing them share a brief kiss on the back seat. Asia's premier LGBT social network Friday has been taken over by digital media agency DragonStack. The company, backed by Galileo Capital, already provides digital services for Hotmail Radio and Pink 60 News. And finally, gay 14-year-old Nikita Trondin performed Conchita vs. Rise Like a Phoenix on Russian TV show The Voice Children last week. In his heartbreaking introduction, he talked about being bullied at school for being different. Well, that's all from us at Pink 60 for today. Join us again tomorrow.
When I wake up each morning, I seek out Pink 60 News, which is generally in my Facebook feed. And it's one of the first things I do, and I really have enjoyed getting to know Colin virtually, and I'm very excited to welcome Colin Fallison to the show now. Skyping in from London. Hi, Colin. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Nicholas. Thanks for having me.
Well, congratulations. You know, I'm a fellow media entrepreneur and queer media pioneer, and I really have an affinity for everyone that endeavors to make a difference in this space, so to speak.
Yeah, I'm sure you appreciate how difficult it can be. You don't get a lot of support, but you just keep plugging away because it's the right thing to do.
It certainly is, and I just love how professional and polished. Of course, you are a professional, so there's no surprise in that, but I love how professional, polished, succinct, and informative Pink 60 News is, and I'd love to actually just know a little bit about your background. I know there was a key point in my own life where I made a distinct decision to be out of the closet in everything I did, and certainly that shifts the focus of professional opportunities for us. At least it did for me at the time I made that decision. The world's very different today. But tell us a little bit about your journey.
Well, coming from the UK, I guess it's been slightly different. I've never been in the closet in a way, really, certainly not at work. And I started working broadcasting back in the 1980s. And it was never really a question. People used to come up to me and say, oh, we didn't really know you were gay. But I thought, well, surely you can see it from space, really. I mean, I don't think it's not hidden. I certainly kind of think I'm more obvious than I obviously am. But it's never been a problem. It's never got in the way. And you get a lot of respect just by living a life of integrity, I think.
You know, that is so well stated. I came out while a student at Arizona State University in 1983 in Phoenix, Arizona. And believe me, it's a very different environment. The state of Arizona has become much more conservative. One of the things I really appreciate about you, and one of the exciting reasons I wanted to have you on the show, is that you have a unique perspective of what's going on in the LGBT community worldwide because of the type of reporting that you're doing. And in the United States, where we have huge strides happening, and in the UK, where we've had marriage equality for quite some time now, it's a stark contrast where there are still people being murdered because they're perceived to be LGBT, and we have the horrific videos of ISIS throwing gay men off cliffs. Sure. These things are unfathomable.
Well, I think one of the exciting things about LGBT rights and the fight for equality is that it's moving from local communities, because we're achieving those rights in our own local communities and in our own nations in the West, and the fight is becoming a global fight. While still retaining respect for local customs and local culture. But I think it's about, you know, human rights has to transcend certain historical aspects of culture. And I think we're taking this internationally, and I think that to do that, you have to be aware of what's happening around the world.
Well, one of the things that's happening around the world is Hillary Clinton's announcement, long anticipated, but as everyone says, not a surprise that she's in it. For the 2016 campaign, I'm curious to know, it's been almost 24 hours since that news was announced. How is it playing in the UK?
Well, coming from a European country, I class the UK as a European country because I class myself as European. We have kind of quite a liberal perspective on things, really, and Americans is often seen as quite a right-wing, difficult nation. And we see it as being kind of becoming more central, liberal. Hillary certainly kind of espouses a lot of European values that we think are very important. And obviously she's taken her views and her perspective around the world already within her job in the State Department and also as the First Lady. And she's always been a great advocate for human rights, for the rights of women and children and workers. Although there are a few scandals in the closet that I'm sure will be dragged out during this campaign, but she's represented very well, I think, here. And I think there's a slight worry that there are a few skeletons in the closet which are going to be dragged out and held up to try and harm her campaign. But I guess with the amount of money that they're talking about raising, she should be able to fight off any criticism.
It would be kind of surprising if there are any big skeletons in the Clintons' closets, because they've gone through so much and they've been vetted so often, and they've been hated and despised and loved for decades. And
sure,
anyone trying to bring them down has certainly done their best effort. You know, frankly, I am concerned. I personally, you know, I don't know if you have, you might maintain neutrality as a journalist, but I'm sort of a journalist slash advocate, and I make no secret that I want Hillary Clinton to win, and I espouse my political views on the show. But I would be really concerned if we had a sane Republican in the race. But we don't.
Well, there are a few, aren't there? But they're all opposed to LGBT rights, marriage equality. There isn't a single one, as far as I know, that is actually in support of any of those kind of rights that Hillary certainly upheld.
Well, the Republicans are becoming more and more narrow-minded. I come from I'm the only Democrat in a big Republican family that spans generations. And I always say that my grandparents would be turning over in their graves if they had seen what had happened to the grand old party, as they say, the GOP. What other stories are you following? Like, for example, do you think, in your opinion, that there are some significant happenings in the LGBT world that are just not getting the attention they need, that have come to your attention?
Well, I mean, we used to cover a lot of HIV stories in the early days of the program. And sometimes these kind of news stories go in and out of fashion, and kind of sometimes you get a whole swathe of stories, and then other times they'll fade away and you won't hear anything for a while. But behind the scenes in the last year, there have been the most amazing strides medically. Brand new concepts in treatments and brand new concepts in how to protect people. And, of course, PrEP has been like the big story of the last year, but there are lots of probably even bigger stories bubbling under right now, and they're all going to hit kind of around the same time. And I think for a global impact, I think that's huge. But they kind of, whenever they do kind of hit at the moment, they're still just like small little stories. They just kind of, you know, fizzle and disappear again, because there's still more tests and more human trials. But I think I'm really excited about the future for that. And I think that's going to happen quickly.
Just for our listeners' benefit that don't know what PrEP is, PrEP stands for pre-exposure prophylaxis. And basically, an HIV-negative person can consult with their physician and get on PrEP, which means that they are given a prescription for an antiretroviral medication called Truvada, and taken each day, it basically makes it extremely less likely that person can become exposed and convert to someone who is HIV positive. And there have been people who are opposed to PrEP, but the nice thing is that it seems to be catching on as a very sensible approach to fighting the HIV/AIDS epidemic and its spread.
I mean, it's a very kind of polarized debate on the whole subject. On the one hand, you know, it's this amazing tool in our defense. But on the other hand, people are possibly abusing it in that they are kind of giving themselves the excuse then to not fulfill any kind of obligation with their partners as far as safety goes. And that leaves you open to things like hepatitis and syphilis and drug-resistant gonorrhea. So it's a complicated argument, and obviously, you know, for anything which is going to kind of make everything safe for people and possibly within a generation, you know, get an age-free generation. But I think we still have to fulfill our obligations and our responsibilities to ourselves and to our partners. And I think some people are abusing PrEP as a way of not fulfilling those responsibilities.
And that debate will continue. I'm going to take a quick break, Colin, and when we come back, I'm going to ask you about your sort of entrepreneurial journey in the LGBT media space. And if you know what is ahead for you, I'd love to hear about that. So I'll be back more with Colin Fallison, who's called in from the UK, after this.
Did you know I'm an author? At the time of this recording, I have two books out. The first, a Living Powerfully with HIV memoir called Life Positive, A Journey to the Center of My Heart. It takes place throughout Asia and even in Palm Springs. It could be called Eat, Pray, Disclose. The second book, A Return to Brokeback Mountain, Photos and Interviews from the Historic Hollywood Premiere. To find these titles, go to NicholasSnowLive.com and click on Books in the main submenu. Spotlight on Palm Springs.
Come to Lulu, the award-winning California bistro. Fabulous breakfast, a luscious three-course Sunday brunch, scrumptious dinners serving fresh fish, perfect steaks, pizzas, salads, and more. Something for everyone. A three-course special to savor from $15.99. The best all-day and night happy hour. There's always a party at Lulu in the heart of downtown Palm Springs on South Palm Canyon and Arenas.
New designer furnishings, sparkling cocktail rings, vintage jeans and shirts for moms, teens, boys, and flirts. Area rugs and stylish bedding design your wedding. Shiny knickknacks and glam Hollywood throwbacks. You'll find it here at Revivals. Voted best of the Valley thrift stores. Now with even more new treasures, plus one-of-a-kind consignment and estate items. Fashion, accessories, furniture, it's all in store at Revivals. Find it here. Visit us at RevivalStores.com to find a Revival store near you.
Hi, I'm Nicholas Snow. Many of you know that I am HIV positive. I'm living powerfully with HIV because I benefit from the services of the Desert AIDS Project in Palm Springs, California, and I'm very happy to bring you this news from another grateful client of Desert AIDS Project.
I'm more proactive with my health now, I think, than I was before, and I think that's because there's other people that are being proactive with me. You know, those people that are interested and concerned about it.
A lot of services that are very difficult to access to HIV-infected patients are gathered within one roof. We do have access to substance abuse counselor, mental health services, psychiatrists. We have dental service programs. We have nutritional programs, housing, case management. Very unique in the nation that all the programs, including medical services, are administered within one facility.
Coming here, I felt just an amazing amount of love from Desert AIDS Project. They are people who just care in the community, people who want to put a hand out and say, let me hold yours. And I think that makes all the difference in the world.
For more information, visit desertaidsproject.org.
This is Nicholas Snow Live, connecting the circuitry of humanity. Connect with us at NicholasSnowLive.com. It's not radio. It's Gadio.
If you happen to be listening live, it is 11:24 a.m. Pacific Daylight Time on April 13th. The number to call is 347-215-8866. You know, on those morning shows on TV where someone picks up a cup of coffee and has a sip? Well, I'm doing that now because it is morning here. Colin, are you drinking coffee or what are you doing over there in the UK right now?
I can't even tell you what I'm drinking, actually.
Oh, okay. We won't go there, but I'm happy for you.
Some vodka from Russia.
Okay, well, cheers, as they say. So tell me a little bit more about your own sort of queer entrepreneurial spirit, how it's manifested, and where you want it to go.
Well, I guess it's when I started, when I was at college, back in the late 70s, early 80s, I became an activist back then, and we had no rights in the UK, so I was out on marches and parades, and I was in the Houses of Parliament demonstrating. We didn't have an equal age of consent. It was 16 for straight people and 21 for gay men, and that took a lot of years to fight and get down, and that came down in steps, went down to 18, and then finally balanced off 16 with everybody. And then there were other things that to fight for, and there were people being arrested and murdered, and the police weren't doing anything about it. So we were a really persecuted group back then, and it's very inspirational to me that we're at a point now where all the things that we fought for have come to fruition, that younger people can enjoy those. Although, of course, as an older person, it does bug me that sometimes they get taken for granted. But I think that's when we need to report our history more. And I think people that make movies for film festivals, for example, and companies like HBO that make historic documentaries, one of them which is currently doing a movie on Stonewall and the Stonewall riots, I think it's really important to record those because that's a hidden history. Most of that generation are not with us anymore. You know, I lost pretty much everybody back then. When AIDS arrived, I first came out in the UK in 1983, and it was the same year that AIDS arrived, pretty much. And and that pushes you on and kind of really kind of gives you an emotional drive to do something when you have to watch all the people you love die around you every day.
That was a very motivating time in my life as well. I had just come out and was knowing people who were living with HIV and dying of AIDS, and it was one of the things that inspired me to honor and express my life force in a way that makes a difference and to keep endeavoring to find ways of doing that. And you certainly are doing that. What is there anything that you know about what you're hoping to do and in the future?
Well, I've spent the whole life really in broadcast, and I had a 25-year career working for lots of news broadcasters in the UK, like ITN and Sky. I've also worked for Time Warner, and I've worked all around the world for various corporations and companies. Now I'm in my 50s. I'm thinking, oh, second career, what am I going to do now? And I would like to do something which was still motivational and something which supported the community. So I'm kind of, I'm pushing for Pink 60 to get broader distribution. We already distribute through Out TV in Canada, which is a cable TV network, and they offer an online international service called Gay Direct on YouTube, which people can subscribe to anywhere in the world. And on that channel, we also have a 30-minute weekly show, which is just finishing its first season. But people can go in there, the whole season is available to view on that. So I'm kind of, I don't know, it's a difficult time at the moment. It's still all up in the air. I'm still kind of trying to come up with creative solutions for the next 10 years of my life.
I know the feeling, believe me, I do know the feeling. I've been involved in media activism for quite a while, and I used to say to some good friends of mine that are still very much involved that the internet is allowing us to jump homophobic Hollywood gridlock and go directly to a global audience that wants and needs content for and about their lives.
Yeah, I mean, the global audience is vast. And there are regions of the world where they have nothing. I mean, in the West we're lucky because most of the ordinary channels, they all have a decent amount of LGBT representation these days. But you get to countries like Algeria, certainly any of the African nations and the Middle East nations, and Asia as well, they have nothing. There are no representations. There's just been a big scandal in Korea about a lesbian kiss in a soap. It was the first one ever. And the channel's been investigated to see if they've broken broadcasting guidelines. So we kind of, we kind of get a little bit spoiled in the West. I think that, you know, we are being better and better represented on chat, on TV, and in the movies. There are regions of the world where that is a complete no-no. And I think that the people that live in those nations, you know, they can access our content. That's the great thing about the internet. For me, it's not that it erases cultural diversity. It allows cultural diversity to spread. And you know, Western diversity can spread to the East and other nations, and their cultural diversity can come to us, and we can experience that as well.
Very well said. I'm going to take a final break, and then we're going to spend the rest of the show talking about Colin's perspective of Hillary's run. He's done quite a bit of research, has some interesting information for us. So I'll be back with Colin after this. He's in London as we speak.
Hey folks, mark your calendars for early November because it's time for Greater Palm Springs Pride, Southern California's popular and longest running LGBT festival in the Coachella Valley. Palm Canyon Drive is closed to traffic and transformed into a vibrant, pedestrian-friendly Pride Festival unique to Southern California. Palm Springs Pride is also one of the sponsoring organizations of the annual Harvey Milk Diversity Breakfast, which takes place every year in May. Visit pspride.org.
The LGBT Community Center of the Desert is a nonprofit organization dedicated to enriching the lives of the LGBT community in the Valley through health and wellness, social and educational programs. The center advances its mission through a clinical counseling and internship program, senior programming, youth anti-bullying and suicide prevention support programs, a growing volunteer program, and signature special events in the community for its members and allies. For more information on the LGBT Community Center, visit them on the web at thecenterps.org.
In Greater Palm Springs, since 1979, the Desert Business Association has promoted and supported LGBT and allied businesses and professionals who join together for business promotion, economic development, educational, and humanitarian purposes. Their vision is to connect, promote, and build prosperity by embracing all members of the community to make a positive difference. They have many events every month. Find them at desertbusinessassociation.com.
This is Nicholas Snow Live, connecting the circuitry of humanity. Connect with us at NicholasSnowLive.com. It's not radio, it's Gadio.
And it is 11:32 a.m. on April 13th in California, and it's just after 7:30 p.m. in London. We're Skyping in while enjoying a cocktail. Colin, I know you've spent some time coming up with some Hillary Rodham Clinton info and news, and I'd love to hear what you found.
I mean, you know, when you don't look into these things in depth until it's absolutely necessary, you don't realize all the stories that are tucked away in the background. And I've always loved Hillary. I thought, even from the days when she was first lady, I think America too fell in love with her because she showed dignity and respect during very difficult times. And we all know about the scandal that happened with Monica Lewinsky, but she never disrespected her husband. She was always dignified and quiet in the background, and I think people really respected that about her. But I think subsequent to that, obviously she's had her own long career, and things like the Clinton Foundation, which was set up as a global charity to try and help with AIDS and education and the roles of women and children in developing countries. But it's developed a few scandals along the way as well. And there have been some donation scandals from countries that weren't supposed to donate or that maybe had vested interests with the Clinton family. And so she's going to have to address those. She's always kind of done the same thing. She's never actually publicly addressed any of the scandal issues that have been put to her. And I think maybe during this campaign, she's going to have to address some of those and put them to bed. Otherwise, they're going to dog her for a while. And I was also really interested to see about the funding that's required for her campaign. She's going to have the most expensive election campaign ever. Supposedly, she's looking for $2.5 billion in donations just to fund the campaign. And when you think that since In the last 14 years, the Clinton Foundation has only raised $2 billion in its entirety for work all around the world. That's an extra $500 million just for a one-year or one-and-a-half-year campaign of marketing. So I kind of find that a little difficult to reconcile, that $2.5 billion on marketing when there's less than that going to fund, you know, starving countries and education and AIDS research and support people who are suffering.
Well, let me just respond to that. I know you have more to share, but let me just respond to that. Unfortunately, the campaign financing in the United States has been altered dramatically in a way that I think adversely impacts the process. And so it's made people like the Koch brothers incredibly powerful in influencing right-wing policy. And so the amount of money that politicians are raising for campaigns is being driven a lot by that particular factor, because there's for all stakeholders, there is a tremendous amount at stake from their personal perspectives.
Sure.
And everyone, for example, the Republicans are, in my opinion, very scared about what could happen with another 8 years of Democratic presidential leadership in our country.
Sure, it's pretty much unheard of, isn't it?
Yes, and the Democrats are mortified at what could happen if these right-wing, hateful, and I'm not exaggerating, every single person in the Republican presidential field is demonstrating themselves as extremely narrow-minded when it comes to immigration issues, when it comes to LGBT issues and everything else. And so those of us that have been celebrating and relishing the progress under President Barack Obama, and remember economically successful the Clinton, the Bill Clinton's presidency was, we're mortified as well. So I agree with you that it's in some ways a travesty that so much money is going into these campaigns. But also look at how much is it at stake on a global level. If you put a radical right-wing Republican in control of the United States for 4 years versus Hillary Clinton, there's so much at stake on a global level. So I wish it wasn't the case, but I say spend whatever you need to spend to win.
I think globally we're in a very, very dangerous situation at the moment. I mean, we've seen what happened before in the 1930s when global economies crashed and everybody became polarized in one side or the other. And the Nazis came to power in Germany and they overtook Europe because this right wing, is far more extreme than republicanism, but very right wing perception that communities have and that the populations have. The UK has the UKIP party, which is a very right-wing organization, and it has a huge following because people become very polarized during these times of hardship. And I think, in a way, I like it because it makes an election more, easier for people to distinguish between who they want to vote for. But on the other hand, when everybody's feeling the pinch and everybody's saying we don't want immigration because there aren't enough jobs for everybody already and there isn't enough money to go around already, then those kind of things become dangerous. And
I was just going to say that I happened to be watching the BBC last night, one of my favorite networks, and they did this very short report on an explanation for non-residents, I say non-UK residents, on how you guys create your government. Mm. You have a very short election cycle, and it's a very different process, but it's certainly a lot less costly, isn't it?
Oh yeah, we're kind of voting for parties more than individuals, really, and we've got an election coming up in May, so it's only 6 weeks away, 7 weeks away. There's a few television debates going on, but there will be a few what we call party political broadcasts, where each party is allocated a 10 to 15 minute slot on the main terrestrial networks to put their point across. But that's it. You know, we don't have these big marketing advertising campaigns. And it's all very low-key almost. And you get published or printed flyers with a post, and it tells you about key elements of what the government aim to achieve if they get into power and who your local MPs are and things like that. But, yeah, I mean, it's not a big circus like it is over there. So obviously it doesn't cost as much. But you base it on the issues, really. We base our electioneering on the issues. So, and I'm certainly putting some hard questions to the representatives that have approached me recently about what their points are going to be, not just on LGBT issues, but on immigration issues and our place within Europe, which is a very big subject for people in the UK. Obviously, we still have the pound, we don't have the euro, but it's a tug of war between us about whether to go or whether to stay and how far in we are and how far out we're going to be. And so it's a totally different animal than in the US. I mean, I was very interested in my research to see that Hillary is supported by some very big financial institutions, institutions that normally you would associate with that maybe focusing on the Republican group. Things like Citigroup and Goldman Sachs and JP Morgan and Ernst & Young, they all back Hillary Clinton. And
they don't back Hillary Clinton exclusively. They back everyone who's in the race, so they don't find themselves without allies.
So I think, as far as I'm aware, based on the list that I was looking at, Citigroup is the largest funder for Hillary Clinton out of all donations. At the moment, anyway.
You mean to her
campaign fund?
Yeah.
So the current donations, they're top of the list as making the largest single donation.
That is fascinating. I'd be interested in knowing what they also give to the front runner Republican candidate, because in general, my understanding is that these major corporations with a lot to lose do what they can to make sure they have solid relationships with whoever is going to be in power.
Yeah. Well, actually, I was just looking at this list now, and I'm actually quite interested that they are actually mostly not American companies. They're global companies that originally started off in Europe and Asia. Credit Suisse, Goldman Sachs, Ernst & Young. So I think that in itself gives you an indication that the rest of the world has a vested interest in Hillary being president, because I think she would be best for international relations for everybody.
Well, and frankly, look at the wars that the Republicans are itching to take us into as well, and how that wreaks havoc in many ways on not only the global economy, but the destruction of lives.
Oh, the Islamic State is just the most awful powder keg that's waiting to blow up, and it's just waiting for someone to come along and light it. And they're already committing the most hideous atrocities, and how they got this far without global intervention, I don't know. You would think that Europe and America and its allies would have all got together a long time ago, when they must have known that this was happening and this was growing, and put it out early on, but now it's too late.
It's tough times we're living in, for sure.
Sure.
Is there any other points you wanted to make regarding your Hillary research?
Well, I think we all know pretty much her stance on LGBT rights, and she's been a staunch advocate for a very long time, and she's even had to try and cover up some of her husband's errors along the way, but she's kind of grown as well. Let's kind of use Obama's phrase, and they've grown on the issue and changed their minds over certain things. Certainly, you know, Bill Clinton, who initiated DOMA, that's all come and gone, and Don't Ask, Don't Tell, that's all come and gone. And ENDA, of course, is kind of the current one with its acronym that we're waiting to finally go. Although all federal employees are now protected under a law that President Obama signed last July. So things are still moving forward, and I think if Hillary gets in, she'll continue Obama's work and stuff that she's put in, the groundwork she's put in as state secretary as well.
A few days ago, I went, I, I went on this rant. I usually don't rant, but I ranted in a Facebook post, and this is what I wrote. I said, I would like to thank the religious, bigoted, so-called Christians, I am not referring to those who are truly Christ-like, for all the evil you're spewing and for the vile laws you're passing or attempting to pass, for practically guaranteeing that the next president of the United States, definitely a Democrat and most likely Hillary, will have at the top of her agenda passing federal law ensuring nobody in the U.S. will be able to legally discriminate against a member of the LGBT community again. We are on the fast track to becoming a federally protected class of citizens, as we should be, as history has shown, as is continuing to show, and with the vile likes of all of you to contend with. Hashtag equality soon. Hashtag haters are losing the war. Hashtag justice will prevail. And then I got a little racy in my post. I said, and frankly, if it wouldn't repulse me, I would tell you to suck my fill-in-the-blank. But I know that's against your religion, so never mind. Enjoy your pizza.
Well, I mean, I lived with a priest for 11 years. We were a couple, and I lived with him as his partner in the vicarage back in the 80s and 90s, and we raised two children together. So I've done the whole family thing. Long time ago, long before it was a fashion, that is now very fashionable for gay people to have children and raise families. And I was doing it 25 years ago. My children are in their 30s now. But I had a different perspective on religion, and I know a huge amount of Christian groups. On Facebook, there's a group called Changing Attitude, which is run through the Episcopal Church of England. They do a huge amount of work around the globe to try and change attitudes from within the Church of England. It's all run by priests. We did a very good package on them at Christmas, looking at transgender priests and gay and lesbian priests who became married subsequent to becoming clergy. And it was such an interesting thing. And there's also Mormons Building Bridges, which is a breakaway group who are trying to reconcile with the gay community and apologize for all the hate and the violence that's been perpetrated against LGBT people. So I think even within the church, they're reflecting the split within culture. Certainly, I mean, in America, the religious vitriol that you get, we don't have that over here very much because it's religion is not so central to our character, our national character, although you know, we have the Church of England, which is run by the Queen, and but it's not a central part of most people's lives in the UK. We're one of the most secular countries in the world.
It's interesting to make that point about contemporary life in your country when you look at British imperialism and how some of the most homophobic laws that are still on the books came out of it.
Sure.
I mean, in other countries.
Times were very different.
Oh, yes.
Like I said, I mean, I was fighting for equality and for rights and for changes in the law back in the 1980s, and it's taken a generation to get those rights. But we're still fighting for full equality, but the big battles have been won, and now I think that's why we have to take our battles internationally.
I couldn't agree with you more. On a lighter note, I'd like to wrap up by just, because you and I reach collectively a significant audience worldwide.
Sure.
I'd love for you to talk about LGBT tourism to the UK, and if you were sharing with my listeners what they would want to make sure to see and do, or what times of year to show up, what kind of travel tips would you give?
Well, I mean, you can never guarantee the weather in England, can you? but generally, you know, the best weather we're going to get is between July and August. I always, because I have lots of people coming to London, so I act as a tour guide all the time for people. And so I always recommend the boat ride, which goes from the Houses of Parliament. There's a little pier on the river, and it goes down to Greenwich, which is Greenwich Mean Time, so it's where the clock starts. And it's a beautiful old 300, 400-year-old region. You can get a great pub lunch. But the journey from Westminster on the boat down to Greenwich, you have a dialogue from the captain, and he gives you the full history of London on the riverside. And I was really surprised to find that there's a small pub which has been there for hundreds of years. It's crumbling and slowly falling into the river. But it was apparently where the pilgrims met before they went to Plymouth to board the boat, to board the ship. And this pub is still there, tipping slowly into the river, and it's just tucked back. But it has fantastic small little kind of pieces of history which are so fascinating. And so I always kind of put people on there, or I take people on there. And a lot of museums, and the museums are mostly free in the UK. So the Victoria and Albert Museum to kind of look at everything that the British Empire stole in its reign. That's where they keep it. That's our Science Museum. We have the History of London Museum. I always say, if you're tired of London, you're tired of life. You can come to London and there's a million things to choose from. The scene is undergoing a complete change at the moment. So lots of places are closing down. They've just announced the closure of one of London's oldest drag clubs last night, which is the Black Cat, which has been going for maybe a century or so. So the scene is under a constant state of flux at the moment.
And, of course, you have Pride festivities in late June every year. Is that true?
Yeah, they try to kind of time it so that it doesn't clash too much with New York Pride, but it's usually the weekend before or after. But because of the weekends always change a little bit, sometimes it kind of just clashes just by accident. And there's no guarantee of the weather.
So do you think there are a lot of people that go to New York Pride from London?
Well, Londoners, British people in general, you know, everybody has a passport and we all love to travel. We kind of feel like we're in the center point of the world, so we can get to anywhere. So we go to the States and we go to Australia. Lots of British people go for Sydney Mardi Gras, which has just happened, because obviously their summer is our winter. And all the European prides, they're fantastic. And Sitges Pride with, you know, fantastic golden beaches and beautiful Spanish men and women. We can choose where we go, and it's very cheap for us because Europe is a stone's throw away. So my family come from Copenhagen, so for me it's less than a two-hour flight to Copenhagen from London, and I can go to Amsterdam in 45 minutes. You know, it's very cheap and very quick. And we have a train line now, so we have a tunnel that goes under the channel, so that we can just jump on a train in London and be in Paris in 2.5 hours, 3 hours.
I have one final really important question. Are you as crazy about Downton Abbey as I am?
Oh, my God. You know, this is probably one of my deepest, darkest secrets. I've never even seen one episode.
Oh, my God. Okay, I'm deleting this broadcast forever.
It's my greatest shame.
Yes, you should be ashamed. It's been a pleasure having you on the show. Do you have a final comment about anything?
I would just like to remind everybody that you can see our show every day on Facebook, Monday to Friday. And if you live in Canada, you can watch it on broadcast on OutTV and cable channels.
Well, I've really enjoyed having you on the show. You're welcome to call in anytime you have an opinion on our hot topic of the day, and be my special co-host again when you have something important that you want to promote.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure. You have a wonderful evening. I want to thank everyone for listening. I just want to remind you that you can share every episode of my show. You can find all of them at blogtalkradio.com/NicholasSnow Live. If there's a particular episode you want to share, there are all kinds of social networking buttons. I mentioned many episodes a week are currently being picked up by the Huffington Post. I want to give a shout out of thanks to that. And I want to thank you for listening. I'm going to begin end the show as I began it with that audio from the Hillary campaign launch video. And finally, the most current episode of Pink 60 News. Just remember, when you're searching for Pink 60 News online, Pink 60 is one word, PINKSIXTY. News, of course, is a different word. So if you search Facebook for Pink 60 News, you'll find it. Thank you so much for joining. By the way, tomorrow we go inside the heart and soul of a leather man. That's a bit of a different take on topics of the day. Thank you for listening.
I'm getting ready for a lot of things. A lot of things. It's spring, so we're starting to get the gardens ready, and my tomatoes are legendary here in my own neighborhood. My daughter is about to start kindergarten next year. And so we're moving, just so she can belong to a better school.
Mi hermana y yo estamos empezando un primer negocio.
Vaya.
After 5 years of raising my children, I am now going back to work.
Every day we're trying to get more and more ready and more prepared.
The baby boy, coming your way.
Right now I'm applying for jobs. It's a look into what the real world will look like after college.
I'm getting married this summer to someone I really care about.
I'm going to be in a play and I'm going to be in a fish costume. For me, the tiny fishes.
I'm getting ready to retire soon. Retirement means reinventing yourself in many ways.
Well, we've been doing a lot of home renovations.
But most importantly, we really just want to teach our dog to quit eating the trash.
And so we have high hopes for 2015 that that's going to happen.
I've started a new career recently. This is a fifth generation company, which means a lot to me. This country was founded on hard work, and it really feels good to be a part of that.
I'm getting ready to do something, too. I'm running for president. Americans have fought their way back from tough economic times, but the deck is still stacked in favor of those at the top. Everyday Americans need a champion, and I want to be that champion. So you can do more than just get by. You can get ahead and stay ahead, because when families are strong, America is strong. So I'm hitting the road to earn your vote, because it's your time. And I hope you'll join me on this journey.
Hello, I'm Colin Tallison, and here with the international LGBT news headlines from Pink 60. Hillary Clinton announced her intention yesterday to run for president for a second time at next year's US election. Her campaign manager is out gay man Robbie Mook, and her launch video includes an engaged gay couple talking about their future. Following reports last week that France's new gay ambassador to the Vatican had been accepted by the Archbishop of Paris, it seems the Pope isn't so keen. A Vatican official was quoted as saying Pope Francis rejected Laurent Stefanini personally because of his sexuality. A Muslim taxi driver in New York has been fined $10,000 in order to attend anti-discrimination classes after abusing two lesbian passengers. Mohammed Darby called the women whores after seeing them share a brief kiss on the back seat. Asia's premier LGBT social network Friday has been taken over by digital media agency DragonStack. The company, backed by Galileo Capital, already provides digital services for Hotmail Radio and Pink 60 News. And finally, gay 14-year-old Nikita Trondin performed Conchita vs. Rise Like a Phoenix on Russian TV show The Voice Children last week. In his heartbreaking introduction, he talked about being bullied at school for being different. Well, that's all from us at Pink 60 for today. Join us again tomorrow.
You've been listening to Nicholas Snow Live. Find all of our advertisers and everything Nicholas Snow at NicholasSnowLive.com. Nicholas uses both Twitter and Facebook to alert listeners just as he's going on the air. Anytime, 24/7, you may direct tweet at TheNicholasSnow or post your questions, comments, breaking news, and gossip on the Nicholas Snow Live Facebook page. Nicholas may very well discuss your tweet or comment on the air. When communicating with or about the show using any form of social media, be sure to use the hashtag NicholasSnowLive. You may also Skype into live broadcast from anywhere in the world. For Skype instructions and to review all the Connect with Show options I've just mentioned, simply visit NicholasSnowLive.com and click Connect with the Show in the main submenu. Nicholas also broadcasts regular video chats and interviews on his YouTube channel using Google Hangouts. So subscribe at youtube.com/snowbiznow. That's youtube.com/snowbiznow. For all of his social media links, visit NicholasSnowLive.com and click on Social Networks in the main submenu. This show is produced and copyrighted by Nicholas Snow Productions, LLC. All rights reserved. Thank you for being a part of the snowstorm. We are honored by your presence.